Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 18th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. Joining us today from a remote, undisclosed location, we have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. I have to talk very softly.
Okay.
Just kidding. Hey, okay. Kelly, good to be here. Thanks for having us. Always good to be on the show.
All right. I'm really excited to have Brian Morning Zoo Chaffin joining us. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here as well.
Excellent. Now, Andrew, I want to start with you. You wrote up what I think is a fascinating announcement from a bunch of competitors who are all trying to, at least this one time, not compete.
Yeah, this is good news for smart home device owners. So a bunch of companies like Amazon, Apple, Google, and then something called the Zigbee Alliance, they announced today that they created a working group whose goal is to basically create an open standard, an open protocol for these devices so that they can be more compatible with each other. Mm-hmm. It's called Connected Home over IP. And like the name suggests, it will be based on the IP protocol, which is what the internet is based on.
Yes.
So this would be, since IP is already common, it has all the, you know, infrastructure for this in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, yeah, this is good news for homeowners.
I am not going to lie. As I read this press release, I could hear the hallelujah chorus in the back of my head. This is a thing I have wanted for ages and ages and ages. And part of the reason is because of the Zigbee Alliance. Here's who the Zigbee Alliance is. They are a group that got together that's using a particular variety of connectivity for their home automation things to work, to connect to each other and communicate. So a lot of things are not Bluetooth. A lot of things are not Wi-Fi. A lot of things are not, you know, IP connected. A lot of things are, and I'm going to always get them confused, but there are things that use Zigbee to connect, like light switches, power outlets, things that you can run with like a SmartThings hub, things like that. And so there's, like, if you have light switches, or like I have lights in my backyard, like landscape lighting around the edge of the backyard, and it comes on automatically at sunset, and that's using a particular variety of connectivity in order to make that happen. There are two. There's Zigbee, okay, and there's Z-Wave. And there are two. There are two different groups of things. If you bought Iris stuff from Lowe's, or things that said like they work with Iris, from Lowe's, like they had some light switches and some power outlets and some different things like that. If you bought any of those things, I believe those are Z-Wave, and then Zigbee is kind of the other kind. And then there are other things like the Philips lighting, which is also part of this alliance. Signify, which used to be Philips lighting, is also part of this alliance. And they are all working together to make all of this stuff work more easily, so that everybody can sort of agree on a standard, sort of like Wi-Fi. Like, imagine if you could only connect to Wi-Fi at Starbucks, but no place else, because Starbucks uses, you know, the VHS flavor of Wi-Fi, and everybody else uses the Betamax version of Wi-Fi. Like, that's what this is like. At some point, everybody decided what wireless networking was going to look like, and now, you know, you can use the same thing everywhere seamlessly. It doesn't matter if you have a an Asus router in your closet, like I do, or if you have an Apple router, like some people do, or if you have something from Netgear. It doesn't matter who made it. They're all using the same connection standards in order for everything to communicate. And I am so unbelievably excited about this. If you've ever listened to me talk to anyone about home automation, whether it was, I've talked about it here, I've written stuff about it, I've talked to Chuck Joyner, frequent mention on the show. Hi, Chuck. Because people are interested in home automation and in Internet of Things and smart home stuff. And my recommendation even now is still sort of don't. Because unless your idea of a good time is staying home and troubleshooting your network, you know, semi-regularly, then it's not going to be for you. It sucks, and it's not fun. When it works, it's great. I think it's fun to figure out those sort of network issues, why things don't work the way they should, and how come I can't, you know, lock the door with my phone, and I have to use a key like a caveman. Like, you know, those are things that I enjoy. I admit that my idea of a good time is not common. Brian, do you have smart home stuff at your house?
I do. I've got lights, mostly a couple of smart switches for smart plugs for non-smart devices. But it's all HomeKit. Mm-hmm. And it does not all work as smoothly, certainly not as fast, but definitely not as smoothly as I want it to.
Sure.
To act.
Yeah. Well, and depending what you have, like Philips Hue lights use, I want to say it's Bluetooth mesh networking. It's mesh networking because each light bulb has its own little outpost, so you can sort of extend out from the hub. And you shouldn't have to know that, by the way. There's a reason that I know how those fit together. But part of what's interesting to me about this is who's in on it. And here's why. One of the companies in on it is IKEA. And IKEA, as we know, has they have those end tables with wireless charging. And they have Sonos speakers. Like, Sonos makes the insides of some wireless speakers that you can buy at IKEA. That you can, you know, wireless speakers you can stream to. And they have, like, some, I think some lamps or some lighting of some kind that you can manage with your phone. Which is very cool. Samsung SmartThings is part of this alliance. They make the SmartThings hub, and you can use that to manage a lot of stuff at your house. And then also Amazon, Google, and Apple, who all make voice assistants to boss these things around. And yeah. Hue Lighting is in on this. There were a couple of other companies that make like home automation sorts of things, like when people come to your house and install things, that kind of stuff. So there's some interesting collaboration going on here. I'm really excited. Part of why I'm excited is because if Apple's in on it, that means HomeKit compatibility, and B, that means security. Because we used to hear from people a lot that smart home stuff being HomeKit compatible was hard to come by. Because Apple has really high security standards for that stuff. And
I don't want to see those security standards watered down for HomeKit stuff to work with other stuff. That would be my one concern here. Yeah. Instead, I would really like to see the other platforms lifted up to Apple standards.
That's part of why I hope Apple's in on this.
I don't think we have enough information one way or another yet to know which of those will happen or if it won't be some kind of, you know, middle of the road compromise. But that's my concern and my hope. And, you know, I do tend to be a willfully optimistic person. So, you know, go hope.
Same. When I read this, what I sort of filled in my head is this is obviously why Apple's involved, because Apple knows how to make the hardware and the software much more secure than we see from other things. So I'm pretty excited about it for that reason. You can go to their website if you want to find out more. They have a few questions and answers on the front page. It's connectedhomeip.com. You can go there and check it out. See what they say. See what they have things like, will my current smart home products still continue to work? They say yes. How does this benefit consumers? How does it benefit developers? What's compatible with this protocol? These kind of things. They have an opportunity to join the effort, and it's going to be open source, and you can sign up to let them notify you about things that are happening in their press contacts across the bottom. I'm super jazzed about this. I literally had a conversation with John Braun of Mac Geek Gap fame yesterday about exactly this. I'm really tired of waiting for the VHS Betamax standards war to sort of play itself out so that I can figure out what else I should be upgrading or switching to at my house, so I don't have to juggle all these different standards anymore and remember, like, oh, I can only control this one with this assistant. I can only do that one with the app, you know, things like that. So I am super pumped about this, and I'm really looking forward to it being something we can talk more about. Maybe somebody from here wants to talk to us. I will definitely be hitting up their press contacts and see what I can find out. Part of why I'm excited about this is because we've seen some real security failures in how some of this network stuff is connected. And Andrew, you wrote about that yesterday.
Yes. So, yeah, that's the main reason why I'm looking forward to this, is because hopefully it would they would work with each other to improve the security of these things. Mm-hmm. Because yesterday I linked to this piece by Motherboard, who they tested how hackable a Ring camera was. And as it turns out, it is pretty hackable. So here's a paragraph that I kind of focused on. So Ring doesn't give people a way to find out how many people are logged in all at once. So this means if some hacker logged into your app and is watching you through this camera, you have no way of knowing. Mm-hmm. Now, when someone is live streaming the camera feed, there does a blue light on the front shows up. But, you know, unless you're constantly checking that, you're probably going to have no idea.
Right.
And Ring doesn't also give users a list of all the previous login attempts. So basically, it sounds like you have no idea whether someone has hacked into you or not, unless, of course, you use two-factor authentication.
Listen, mm-hmm. Hold on a second. You guys are losing sight of what's important here, and what's important here is all this talk about security and, like, knowing who's logged in. What, I mean, you know, you pay attention to the big stuff. Amazon needs to know what's happening in our homes.
Yeah.
That is one thing I do want to point out, is the thing that Motherboard picked up and was playing with was one of the Ring, like, an internal camera. Like, you can, you know, we see a lot of doorbell footage, especially here in Portland, because we have a lot of porch pirates. So Ring doorbell footage is on the news pretty regularly. And so I see a lot of that, but this is one of the internal security cameras. I'm assuming that their security, am I pronouncing those air quotes right, Brian? Their security measures. Yeah. I'm presuming that those are the same across all their hardware. So you don't ever have to enable two-factor if you don't want to. And anybody that wants to can get into your doorbell and talk to people and whatever. Plus, Amazon owns them now. And the whole, you know, Amazon wants to be able to open your door when you're not home and put that package inside for you. And
yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned the porch pirates, because I was going to tie in Amazon, and this is how. Because I don't think having a doorbell camera is bad in and of itself. Like you said, porch pirates, mm-hmm. you need to be able to find out if people steal your packages and who.
Yeah.
Now, Amazon is building this big machinery of facial recognition, and they're also partnering with law enforcement to try to get people's video feeds of these cameras. Yeah. So that
to
is
willingly
the
hand over
thing that's going on.
Access to these cameras. Yeah. And yeah. There's a word, Brian, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Totalitarian surveillance, corporate surveillance state.
That might be too many syllables. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yes.
You are correct.
Four syllables.
Yeah, you're correct. But the word I was looking for was shenanigans. This is why I do have a doorbell camera. It is not a Ring. And part of the reason I didn't buy it was a much simpler reason than I did a thorough security audit. Part of what the primary reason I didn't get one is because they basically forced you to pay a subscription for cloud storage if you wanted to use it for anything and be able to access it when you weren't home. And I didn't want to be forced into a subscription for my doorbell, so I don't do it. So I went and found a different one. And I have a Skybell. And Skybell, my Skybell HD, I think it is great. It doesn't make me pay for anything. So, but I'm able to use it if I'm home or not home. I can still answer the door. I can see if the motion detected just there was the Amazon guy dropping off a package but didn't bother to ring the bell. I've noticed that, like, at least the postal carriers, when they have to leave something on the step, they will hold it up in front of the camera for a second and then set it down. So, hey, just want to let you know, this is here and happening. It's also very clear if it's recording you. So if it detects motion, There's a little light around the doorbell button. And it's normally, I think it's blue right now. I change it once in a while because you can decide what color it is. And then when you ring the doorbell or it detects motion, it turns white. So you can tell, like, when it's been tripped or not. So, So I like mine. And I don't have to... I don't have to get pestered by Amazon. Will you please let us use your doorbell? Or will you please let us in the garage? Or whatever. And I don't have to pay a subscription so that my doorbell works. You know. So for me, like, that ended up being the smarter decision. And, like, retroactively, I'm even happier that the one we got was not a Ring camera. Because this stuff isn't great. Like, this is a very basic security thing. One of the interesting pieces of the article that you linked to, Andrew, was the hacker that talked to them about, this is how we get in. And it was very obvious. They said that they fire compromised user credentials against the login portal and wait to see what happens.
Yeah, this is a thing in all of the places. When you reuse passwords and they are compromised in one place, they are sold, traded, given away on the dark web for bad guys to then plug them into all sorts of scripts. I mean, script kiddies can do this sort of thing. And They try to get into accounts with money. With Bitcoin, surveillance stuff, credit card numbers, and they just see what they can get into. Mm-hmm. And it's not hacking. It's because people reuse passwords. Don't reuse passwords. Mm-hmm. If you do not reuse a password and there is a security breach, you are affected only where that security breach is. If you reuse passwords and there's one security breach, you are affected everywhere that you reuse that password.
Yes.
Your password should be long, complex, and unique. And stop calling it hacking. It's sloppy security on our part.
Well, technically It's cracking when you gain access to a system that you shouldn't have access to. Apparently that doesn't sound as sexy or exciting or criminal. I don't know. But anyway, plus one passwords. And I will tell you... because I know all three of us are huge proponents of password managers. Apple gave you one. If you're listening to this program, I'm going to go ahead and bet you have at least one device from Apple. And if you do, that means you have access to the magic that is iCloud Keychain. And if you've ever gone to a website and tried to log in, it will prompt you like, hey, I can make you a long, crazy password for this website. Wanna? It's very easy to use. They're encrypted. So the data is secure. It's very easy to use them. You get a little key the next time you go back to that website that you set up the account with. And it goes, hey, do you want to use the login from connectedhomeip.com? Sure. And you tap on it and you wait a second and it's done. It's so nice. It's very smooth. If you want to use something that has more capabilities and does more stuff and has like secure notes and saves software licenses and other kinds of things. Like, there are other password managers out there, but it doesn't change the fact that it's very easy to do this. You have access to one, and you should really spend a little bit of time brushing up on how it works, how you manage them. I know Andrew, you wrote an article about managing iCloud Keychain not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go in and make sure that everything you've got is in there, you know, start accepting those prompts to save that password in iCloud Keychain. It'll just work on your other stuff. It's really nice. I use a combination of 1Password and iCloud Keychain because I have some stuff that got prompted for iCloud Keychain. So I'm like, okay. So I just use that. It's not that many, but I do have a few that are in there. Andrew, what password manager do you use?
Same setup as you. I use a combination of iCloud Keychain and 1Password. 1Password is nice over iCloud. Well, actually, no, never mind, because I was going to say 1Password does generate passwords, but Safari can do that too.
Yeah.
But another thing that 1Password can do that iCloud Keychain doesn't is manage one-time passwords for two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, iCloud Keychain does do it if you do it with SMS, through messages, but I don't think that's something you should do, so you got to use something else.
Generally, no. Brian, how about you?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that the iCloud Keychain, when it generates a password, I believe they're essentially, is it 19 characters?
Something like that.
Four sets of four with dashes in between them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
I poop on that. Not long enough. Nowhere near long enough. I want in excess of 28 characters.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was going to say one of the things I like about 1Password is that I can put parameters on what that password is. So I have a 50-character randomly generated Facebook password. Good luck sending out fake invites to people as me. That's not happening.
For now. Eventually that'll change. You know, there was once upon a time where 12 digits was like, oh my God, that's so long.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can also control whether or not there are special characters, how many special characters, whether or not there are numerals and things like that. That's all through
pronounceable words, password. Which I like for things that I sometimes have to type. It's easier to parse like five words in a row than it is capital X, lowercase V, L, 9, M, you know. Yeah. So Brian, you sort of max out your passwords. Like, I made a special exception for my Facebook password after like everyone I knew was like, stop accepting invites from me. That wasn't me. I didn't do it. So I go change mine occasionally to a new 50 character randomly generated password.
I use 24 character passwords, but as I update them and change the password, like, I don't know, a couple times a year, I think I'm going to increase it maybe to, I don't know, 32 or more.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that, I don't remember the math behind it, but every character that you add to your password makes it an order of magnitude harder to get into. And there's things you can use like Diceware and other sorts of stuff that to help make your passwords a little more secure and a little more random so that it's easier to...
The key, Kelly, to making this stuff work... is to get over remembering your passwords.
Yes.
Stop making that a part of your mindset. You should let a password keeper, and I do recommend 1Password. You should let some kind of password manager, like 1Password, at the very least, iCloud Keychain, manage all your passwords so that you're not remembering them.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you 100%. That's exactly... Because part of it is freeing up bandwidth in your brain for other stuff to remember, which for me is part of the nice thing about using a password manager is I don't have to think about what they are anymore. And I have all of them on all my devices, so it doesn't really matter which screen I'm in front of. I know that on my phone, my iPad, on my laptop, wherever I am, when I need something, I can go log into it because I have the password right there with me all the time. And one of the other features of 1Password is they have like Watchtower. So if you have a login with a service that has been breached, they will like flag it in Watchtower and like remind you that this is a thing that needs updating. And there's like a smart search for like
flag,
passwords you haven't updated in however long and things like that.
Mm-hmm. They'll also flag repeated passwords for you.
Yes, which is also really nice. Because you can go in there. When they first started doing that, I had a few that I was reusing, and I was able to go in and change all of them very easily. It was really nice. That's actually probably the one thing that I think I would want from iCloud Keychain that I don't have, is generation parameters. I think I would like to have.
Yeah, I would love that.
I would like, yeah, if it could be 32 like characters, or maybe I don't want dashes, maybe I want underscores, or ampersands, or, you know, a left parenthesis between each blob of characters, the possibility of using dictionary word lists as part of that or something. Being able to do something like that would make a lot more sense to me. And then I could move 100% to iCloud Keychain and be done, and that'd be great. You know, and then be down to just the one password manager, I guess. But definitely, you know, also a thing that we found out is that, by the way, to talk about the Ring camera for a second, is that they do use two-factor authentication, but it's not required. So if this is a thing that worries you, if maybe you've got a Ring camera under the tree, maybe you want to
take it back.
Maybe you want to think about it again, or take it back. Or maybe you want a Skybell. I don't know. yeah, I don't want any more Amazon in my house than I already have with my Echo Base. So I'm totally happy to not have a Ring camera.
Take that back too.
It's one, Brian. So, and really, the most of the things I do with it are tell me the weather and turn on these lights or turn off these lights. And as soon as I can move some of that stuff to HomeKit, then yeah, once this alliance is up and running and all my stuff will work with HomeKit again, and I don't have to jimmy around with Homebridge on my Raspberry Pi, I will be much happier. If you have questions,
I wouldn't expect to see anything for a year or two, for what that's worth.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's what I figured. I know. Probably a couple years.
It's going to be a while. I have no doubt. Particularly if Apple gets their way with security, because I'm assuming that Apple's going to be there banging a security drum, a randomly generated drum,
Let's hope.
Fingers crossed. If you're using any of this stuff, if you have questions for us about it, or if you have other recommendations, you can always reach us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm happy to answer your automation questions to the best of my ability, but I can't guarantee. I guarantee that a lot of the answers are going to be, this is how, but you should know it sucks. That's part of why I was so excited.
And I can also answer your security questions.
Please write in if you have security questions for Andrew. We love that. There is no dumb security question. Please write in. Talk to us about it. We definitely want to make sure that people are starting off the new year correctly and securely. Don't start the new year off with a hack. That's basically what we're coming down to. So... so I go with Brian. If you have a Ring camera under your tree, you might want to rethink it.
Take it back.
Brian, thanks for being here.
Take it back. Good to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having us here at the Morning Zoo. Over to Silent Bob.
I don't understand this, but yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Andrew Silent Bob, for joining us today. Now I just, in my brain, all I'm going to be able to think of the rest of the day is Brian and Andrew leaning up against a quick stop. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.